Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Match Ball.
Well, hello and welcome to the show. It's brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors, who will do you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball for the whole range of services, which you can find on the website, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Do you want to do anything on it, Michael? You're not in the mood?
Not really in the mood.
There was a lot of frustration coming out of Elland Road tonight. It was quite flat, understandably so, given that it was 0-0, given that Leicester lost at Millwall.
Good news.
So, I was going to say, while it does feel like there has to be a little bit of bloodletting here to reflect the mood, I think we can also find reasons not to be cheerful, but to be optimistic and just acknowledge that whilst it's a chance missed, it's a chance that, you know, rolls forward another week. Are you looking for a pen there, Moscow? You look baffled.
Looking for a knife.
Oh, okay.
Come on. Do you want a pen?
Michael, no, if we're letting blood.
Oh, I see.
I think it's, you're the bloodiest.
There's a pin there. There's a little safety pin. That'll do.
Do you ever be do the Blood Brothers thing?
Let's not start now.
I feel like we need to be very somber and serious now because we dropped points.
There was a weird...
Still stab Michael with a pin, somberly.
I made a note around 87 minutes, deathly silence, when it felt like everyone knew it just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And it was just, there's almost like a resignation. There was a bit in the second half where the atmosphere picked up and it was like, we're going to drive this team on and we're going to... And then it was just like, no, it's not happening.
Couldn't
nothing's,
be bothered.
Nothing's going to happen here, actually.
Obvious question then. But what is the answer? Is it as simple as X, Y, and Z? I don't know. Why didn't we win tonight? Apart from obviously not scoring, which doesn't help matters, does it?
They're scared, maybe.
I genuinely think they are.
I think
there's a lot of young men.
There is
in there
an element of that.
That are under pressure.
Because it seems like we're too ponderous at the wrong times, and we're almost rushing things at the wrong times as well. And it leads to us, we'll pass it around the back for ages, looking for something to do. And I can just see Dan jumping around pressing buttons.
Just turning the blue light blue. It turned off blue. It's had enough as well.
Okay, fair enough. But then, having got bored of passing it around for 30 seconds, we then try a pass that's never going to get to anyone and we lose possession. And it just feels like there's not anyone pulling strings in there. It's just Ampadu to Rodon to Melier to Rodon to Ampadu to Firpo to Rodon. It feels like there's that recycling going on an awful lot.
Do you agree, Moscow, we're starting to see perhaps the downside to Farke's approach to football just a little bit, because it's conservative and we don't do those risky passes, we just keep trying to work it and pull the other team out of position, that it's made us become too risk averse?
We do risky passes, we're just quite bad at them. Ampadu loves the risky pass into Bamford when he's got three people marking him, and Rodon loves a risky pass out to Dan James that doesn't get there, and then he's chasing back and Ampadu has to come over and stop Sunderland from scoring. So it's bad decisions rather than being risk averse, really, but they're not helped, I don't think, by the lack of movement up front. And whether that comes from Farke or whether it's the players, it was a feature of once we'd gone, I think we had five in attack in stoppage time, and Ampadu had the ball at his feet and he gave it back to Melier because he was saying to all the people ahead
of him. There were no options, like, yeah. You could see the frustration because the crowd got on his back, didn't it?
Yes.
And is the crowd right to get on the backs of the players and express their frustration in that way? Is it a natural response, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. We don't really... I was thinking during it that we don't tend to do much to get the crowd going and behind us. And it's kind of right that the second half, there seems to be, began with a decision made to be louder. But there's only so much you can do when there isn't much excitement on the pitch.
You're right. It did feel like there was a little bit of a reset because there was a little bit of booing, wasn't there, going into half time? And I don't know if that was frustration at the referee or it was the lack of positive passing. Because I think Archie Gray had a chance to perhaps go forward and he opted to go back, didn't he, just before half time. There was just a little ripple of boos at half time, but then it felt like they came out second half. It was kind of, okay, we'll get behind you again, lads, and you know, try and push you on. And like you say, it kind of grew as we grew into that game, but also fell away.
There were bits of crowd frustration spilling through as well. In like, there was a time when we'd not been passing. It seemed we were almost refusing to pass to the right-hand side. And then we did eventually pass it to James. And when that happened, there was a, whee! And it was like, yeah. Oh, I sort of feel sorry for the players in a way that it's happening, because I'm sure they're playing the way that they have practiced, and that Somerville is probably our most dangerous creative player. So getting it to him a lot makes a lot of sense in some ways. But it's when it becomes predictable, isn't it? It's just like when Ruter is so unwilling to pass, make an early pass, it allows players to swarm around him easier because they go, well, he's not going to pass it quickly. So if we just get three players around him, there's a chance we'll get the ball off him. And in some way, even the unpredictable bits are becoming a bit predictable.
Archie Gray does spend a lot of his time standing like Michael Jackson out on the right wing with his arms outstretched as if he's singing Earth Song and nobody is passing the ball to him. And it was quite interesting that once even Joe Roden like didn't make that pass, even if after Ilya Gruev had given him the ball and was like, give it to him. I just turned away. I was like, no, I'm giving you Ampadu and we'll go to Firpo. But then when Conor Roberts came on, suddenly it's like, oh, Welsh friend, you can have the ball. So I wondered as well, because there was a moment towards the end of the first half when Roden ended up at right back. We'd got mixed up and he was up against Jack Clark, and Jack Clark was like, this is great. Skinned him, and then Roden was having a go at Archie Gray for not being there to deal with Clark. And I wonder if Roden is like a little bit not sure about this 17-year-old that he has to cover.
He's 18 now.
This 18-year-old that he has to cover, because if he goes bombing up the pitch with the ball and then it comes back, well, he's got back spasms. He was limping at the end, feeling his thigh. So he's not quite sure if it's going to be a wise defensive move. Maybe that's the thing. I don't know. But maybe it is just getting to Somerville faster. But I do feel sorry for James and Gray.
Did you see that in the second half? Do you think that we tried to move the ball a bit faster and that's what got the crowd going?
No.
I thought we picked it up a bit.
I didn't think we particularly did. I felt like we threw more attacking players on, but I don't feel like there was any penetration there still. It was still the same side-to-side, out to Somerville, cuts in, Firpo overlaps sometimes, pass it back to Somerville. Just that, over and over and over.
Can I ask you a question, Moscow? It's Emma, who's in the comments, we're live on YouTube for our TSB Plus members. Hello. Emma's asking, is Farker Ball, has it always been this slow?
Going back to Norwich, maybe. It's never been particularly like thrill-a-minute stuff. But usually, maybe when the pressure has been less, it's been a more relaxed atmosphere. And there's a feeling, I mean, you can't look at us being second in the table, having won, is it 26 games now, which was his target at the start of the season, that it hasn't worked. And I think that's the thing, is that the patient approach, not going hell for leather, not getting caught at the back. I think are we still the best defence in the league? We're up there in the top two or three, if not. All that's worked. I think the problem is that now it's must win. And there's an argument that maybe if we'd stayed patient to the 93rd minute of the referee's incredibly generous stoppage time, we would have been able to score. But with all the pressure on, it ends up with seven players in attack, everybody howling and screaming, and it gets desperate, and then it doesn't work.
I do wonder about the shape of the teams that we're coming up against, because Sunderland did that thing of packing the middle, didn't they? Again, which invites us to do something else other than try and do little exchanged passes on the edge of the box, because you could see him sort of looking for it. And as you were saying before about the balls that like Ampadu was dropping into Bamford, and I thought that was something actually, just to take a little left turn at the minute. Like the number five for Sunderland was booked in that first half for clattering through the back.
Should
of
have been sent off
a couple of times. And we started to then drop the ball into Bamford's feet. And as the game went on progressively more and more, the number five was standing off because he knew that he couldn't get away with another one. And I wondered if maybe we should have tried to exploit that a little bit more.
I think we should have really tried to upset him because he was a proper donkey. And he was very lucky not to be sent off because he'd already been booked. And there was one where Bamford had got the run on him and he just basically stood in front of him and held him. And the ref, and then Bamford had a bit of a kick back and the ref ended up having a bit of a chat to both of them. And I think if he's not already booked him, he probably ends up booking both of them for that, because they both had a bit of a go at each other. But as it was, he couldn't do that because he'd involved sending one of them off. So he's kind of going, "Oh, just don't do it anymore." And as we saw in the second half, he's really good at booking people, that ref, as well. When he quite rightly booked Glenn Kamara, who was about 20 metres away from Junior Firpo's tackle.
Right.
And then did he correct it in the end?
I don't know. I didn't see any of that.
Yeah. Firpo got, it was that foul on the edge of the box, which I'm not 100% sure if there was any contact. Firpo was adamant there wasn't. If there was any, it clipped his heel, but the play went down. But then the ref came over and booked Glenn Kamara for it.
Yeah, I was confused by that. I don't know if Kamara had said something to him or whether it was mistaken identity or what. I don't know.
He was looking around, though, as the ref, in a way that made me think...
I don't know who did that.
He wasn't sure who had done it, because he didn't seem to... I don't know, he had a confusion about him that made me think he'd just gone, oh... Him?
You.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. Not sure. So that wasn't great.
We do have the best defence, by the way, Moscow. Yes, we've conceded 33.
And you did mention it there, the 3 minutes added on. I mean, fucking hell.
Yeah. Well, it's 30 seconds per sub, isn't it? That's the guidance.
What about the rest?
No. This is what I'm leading up to. Okay. It's 30 seconds per sub. So I don't know how many subs were made in
that game.
There
were four breaks for subs in that second half. There were five yellow cards and four separate substitution breaks. Mm. And their goalkeeper did not once kick the ball without the ref going... Yeah, you may take a goal kick now.
I went full Normanton and timed him for one of those. I think it was the one in injury time. It took him a minute.
The ball was not in play in injury time. And then he added on, he did add on a minute, but...
I think the other side to this, and we'll get onto the penalty and the handball, because that's ridiculous, by the way, in a second or two. The other side to this is that we can't, I don't think we can use the lack of injury time as an excuse. Well, we might have done eventually, but I mean, it goes back to what another point I made this week, which is should we have made subs earlier to try and turn the game earlier? But if you're chasing your tail, aren't you, when you get into injury time and they've got a back five or six with three in front of them? It's effectively a back eight.
I was annoyed at the lack of injury time because he was wrong and he'd failed to book their keeper. But when we've not had a shot on target, did we have a shot on target in that game?
We had one, didn't we?
I can't remember one. I don't think it wasn't a particularly difficult one. I don't think. There was Nonto one that was deflected. Oh, it was deflected over, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't even saved. But yeah,
I've got the stats here. I'll have a look. Hang on.
If we fail to, have a shot on target in 12
shots,
minutes,
12 shots, one on target, XG of 0.56.
Yeah, I mean, and they can't have had, what's their XG?
Six shots, three on target, XG of 0.2. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it did feel like a game of basically no chances.
Yeah, which is what they were setting out to do. It was the point I was making about the way that they were set up, and we saw it against Coventry at the weekend as well. When teams pack in on the edge of the D, we don't quite know what to do.
It's frustrating as well, just feeling like most of the second half of games is just waiting for people to take a goal kick. It's not much entertainment, is it?
No.
I feel like refs could probably do a little bit more on that front.
So can I ask you the other question then, which is a point Zach's making here in the comments, that Farker has moaned apparently that we should have had 3 minutes more added time, yet he didn't care about wasting 80 minutes without making subs while we looked terrible. Again, one of the shortcomings perhaps of how Farker approaches the games, if you are to start picking holes in it, that he's not making changes sooner.
I agree. I thought that it badly needed freshening up.
Yep.
And I mean, I know he made it clear he wasn't going to, but I'd have been tempted to make some changes to the starting lineup as well.
Right.
Just Bamford's looked rubbish for a few games. He can still come on if Joseph is playing badly. So I don't see why we're not having that as an option. It's weird. I think with Farker this year, every season, even under Bielsa, there was always a sub you wanted playing. And I feel like we've not had that very much this year. And all of a sudden we've hit the point where everyone is like, Joseph should be playing instead of Bamford. And to be fair, it's normally someone instead of Bamford. It's normally Eddie Nketiah or...
I said that to my dad tonight, exactly that example.
Yeah, it's Eddie Nketiah or it's Tyler Roberts for a time, or it's Joffe, or it's... Who else has been there? Jean-Kevin Augustin. Just play him. Just
Ryan
see what
Edmondson.
He's like. Ryan Edmondson. Yeah, that didn't last for...
It did happen.
But we've avoided that generally this year. But I think as we've seen, we've gone into this period where it's looked fairly stale. Just do something. Yeah, is what it feels like.
It's also come with Farker spending some of his press conferences talking about how they're not fit, they haven't trained, they're not well, they've got back spasms, they've got this injury, they can only do this number of minutes. And then you wonder, it's like, okay, well, if you're going to start with the same lineup, like, give them a break.
Yeah, what do you expect?
Yeah, don't keep playing them for 80-90 minutes. Play them for an hour and then the change. And I think the thing with Matteo Joseph in particular tonight is that he didn't get on the pitch until we'd gone It was 4-1-4-1 once Wolf Nyonto came on as the first sub, and then Joseph and Piru were introduced into that, where it became more of like a 3-0-8. Does that work? That's just about maths. Well, 2-0-8.
Didn't Nonto actually come on in midfield? Am I right in thinking that?
He just sort of buzzed around the place.
The way we set up, but it was... it was the Gruffalo was the lone midfielder, and then it was Rutter and Nyonto behind Bamford with James and Somerville out wide, but like two tens basically zipping around. But it would have been nice. So Joseph then came on in the last 10 minutes when we're doing chaos football, and it would have been nice to maybe bring Joseph on first early and just give him 10 minutes of Bamford's job.
A normal shape of game.
Get up to the speed of the game.
Not even just
get up to the speed of the game, just play a normal match. Yeah. Instead of it coming into this hell for leather, everything's desperate, we've got to get a goal or we're not going to get promoted, everyone's angry that we can't find a way, Sunderland have gone into a back 10. Just bring him on early enough so that you can just have some time of just playing a bit of a normal football match and then build around him, because he'll end up, you know, we can then build everything else around him with him already there.
He can start to figure out, I guess, which runs work and, you know, how to run the defender, that kind of thing.
The defence was so deep by the time he came on, the chance of him finding any space in there was virtually none. And then he's on to essentially get a head or a foot on some sort of knockdown in the 6-yard box, where it's from one of our absolutely shit corners that we seem to have loads of. And did we create any danger from anything? Well, there was the handball.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't recall us getting even close to a goal off any of them.
No.
I think once or twice it dropped to the edge.
A couple of scrambles.
Once or twice it dropped to the edge of the box. I think Ampadu dragged one and maybe Dan James did.
Yeah, Rutter tried a half volley. There was a bit more willingness for players to shoot. Don't like it. I think they should stop.
Well, in terms of the other way, pinging it off the end of your foot dead far and hard and stuff like that, Robert is just mentioning in the comments, our players do know we can pass the ball forwards instead of backwards, right? But it goes back to what we said before. Was it you, Moscow, I think, in one of the shows maybe we discussed this week about length of passes? Do you think they're under instructions maybe to pass the ball shorter and not take risks? I think it's definitely been discussed on one of the shows that we've had in the last week or two.
Do you remember anything like that?
I'm not normally listening, to be honest.
But it goes back to the style of play is what I'm sort of getting at.
Yeah, I mean, we can pass forward, but the problem is when we look forward, all the players are marked by Sunderland players. There's nobody to pass to, so they just... But it's trying, and then occasionally we'll leave the ball for Roden, and there was a good move when he ran into the middle, and then we create an overload, and then somebody should get into space because somebody's come to engage Roden. But it is basically the problem is less that we are not trying to pass forwards. The problem is more that the players in forward positions are all always marked, and we can't seem to find a way of getting them free and available to receive a pass. And then eventually, so before, we will try, Ampadu loves this kind of long low, he's doing a lot of Coventry, this long low pass through midfield straight into Bamford's feet with his back to goal. But you can see as soon as the ball leaves Ampadu's foot and it's got to travel about 50 yards on the floor, two or three of them will come in and Bamford can't do anything with that. So it's chicken and egg, but I think often it's easy to focus on the players with the ball at their feet and harder to see what's going on at the other end.
Sometimes. So there was definitely a spell where giving the ball to Rutter made stuff happen and he would beat someone and it would start dragging teams out of shape. So and then it would leave players free.
Unbalance the opponent, Michael.
It would unbalance the opponent. It feels like since he's dropped, we're just quite easy to play against. Mm. You're essentially relying on working it to Somerville and he does the little jink inside and cross stroke shot.
Goes for the byline.
Wins a penalty, which he had another goal at today, but it looked quite bad. It was at the far end though, so I couldn't really see. But there was one shot of his that went quite close, wasn't there, where it was again Ballard, I think, that I thought he handballed it then as well, to be honest. He sort of leant in and armed it wide. It was certainly around the kind of sleeve line that it hit. But that was fairly close. Was he our best player again going forward?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you.
That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Some comments coming in now from the presser.
That's again, what I said.
I'm happy to...
too early or too long or too slow.
To take these as verbatim. Just to pick on that particular thing, playing passes too early. What does that mean?
I think
is it trying to force it?
I think that's Ampadu's passes is what he's probably talking about there, where he just tries to occasionally...
Who has said this?
Farker.
Farker in the post-match is suggesting that the players were playing passes too early. As Joel's just said, how much longer do they need to wait? I ain't got until 2032 for them to play.
Yeah, but I think it's poor decision. Well, is it poor decisions or is it a safety first approach? But I know it's easy in the crowd because you're obviously getting, for the most part anyway, people are getting a better view than the players on the pitch. But quite often it looks like there's an early ball on and we choose not to do it. And then you wait 30 seconds, then you end up playing a pass that's worse than the one you could have hit 30 seconds before that.
But what is that about though? Is that about confidence or is it about decision-making or about lack of experience or nous or quality? What is it?
I don't know.
Is it all of those things?
But I think they should stop doing it.
And pressure. I don't know. That's why we're here. Let's talk about it. Let's pull it apart. What do you see with your eyes?
If I had to speculate, I think it's a fear of giving the ball away.
Yeah.
But it ain't working because it just means we instead endlessly pass it around amongst ourselves. And then at some point, someone thinks, well, we've got to go forward at some point. But at that point, they've got back in shape. Everyone's marked and they just whack it back to you and then it recycles again and you're in a position again where the defence is just passing it around between themselves.
Mm. Yeah, that is what we can see with our eyes, but the reason whether they're frightened or whether it's instructions is not visible. We would have to get inside their heads to be able to do that, so can't see that as easily.
Lee is saying that Farko's telling Gurov off at the end, so maybe he was guilty of trying to force the passes a little bit.
He was having a chat with him, but also Conor Roberts was having a good old chinwag with the Gruffalo at full time as well. And I noticed Liam Cooper stopped Wolf Nyondo from... Wolf was just kind of in full skulk down the tunnel mode and Cooper just went over. He was like basically grabbed him by, turned him around, like, nope. You're not doing that. You're staying out here with the rest of us.
Say thank you for having me.
Yes.
Did you get back in the car?
No, you didn't like the orange squash because it's not the same as we have at home, but you're still going to say thank you for being allowed to play here.
Did you see Ampadu at the end? Because the crowd started, as you were saying about, you know, everybody sort of realised about 87 minutes, this ain't happening. People started drifting out at about that point. The gangways became very busy around me. And as a consequence, when the whistle went...
Your dad obviously beat the rush.
70 minutes. He went downstairs to watch it downstairs at 70 minutes. But obviously, I don't know at what point he exits the building. But I think that was the point at which they got that free kick when the whole junior Firpo tackle, not tackle, mistaken identity thing happened. And he just said, oh, you can just see... You know, my dad being the pessimist that he is, you can see this one just like sailing into the far corner. He says, I'm not staying here to watch this. If we go 1-0 down now, I'm off.
It was a reasonable save, wasn't it? But it was actually on target, wasn't it? When Somerville's shot hit the side net, and my phone reported a Leeds goal for a brief second. That was nice. I've got a screenshot of it, so I'll just look at that this evening.
Why didn't they allow it then?
I don't know.
Selfish.
So, ghost goal. I think it did go in and it went through a hole and we should replay the game.
I wouldn't put it past Tim Robinson.
Should we talk about that, the handball then?
I haven't seen it yet. I need to find it.
It's been discussed in the post-match press conference. Farker has been saying, this might have been Sky comments actually, we're getting letters of apology for poor decisions this season and we're going to get another two, but it makes no difference because it was an appalling decision. I showed you the clip, didn't I? As we got back here on Twitter, and the centre half has punched the ball. There's no two ways about it. It's a penalty. Again, I think it's important not to use that as the single excuse for the game not turning in our favour, but it's a huge moment in the match and
we can use it as an excuse.
I think
we should have had a penalty.
Yeah, but the overall shape of the game wasn't good, is what I'm saying. We've got to caveat it by saying that. But when it comes down to moments like that, they are the moments that turn games and turn seasons as well.
We didn't play well, but we certainly didn't deserve to lose, and we could have nicked it with that. So
yeah, I was thinking about it because obviously I hadn't seen it yet, but I'd seen the Leeds United's tweet about it, and I wondered, because that thing of like,
what have they tweeted, by the way, can I ask?
It was just among the match updates. They describe what happened by pointing out that, was it, which player was this? Was it
09,
the beginning of a phone number, had pulled Roden's shirt, punched him and handballed it. I don't know if those were the exact words, but they basically did describe 1, 2, 3, what had happened. And I was thinking about that because people were saying, would we have deserved it anyway? Or we could have had the penalty, but would we have deserved it? And I think, having looked at what happened, we deserve to have a penalty for that. And I think, as far as I'm concerned, that's enough. Like, you deserve to have a penalty when you're...
when the rules are broken in such a fashion.
Where's the ref positioned on that? Cause I didn't
he's the edge of the area, somewhere around the D. He's not directly in line with it in terms of like perpendicular. He's just across the way a little bit. There are probably bodies in between. My best guess is that he didn't see it, which is why he just, like, he didn't even do that ref kind of no, the overblown no gesture with the crossed arms. No. Mm-hmm. I just think he didn't see it, which is why he just skulked off.
I can just see in the comments there as well, Lee Elms was saying, Kreese shot that went for a corner. This is what I was talking about. Went off Ballard's arm and he leant into it. I thought that was handball from, and I'm kind of right behind that shot. And I thought he definitely leans across and it comes off his arm. So, and that again would have been penalty and red card for him because he'd already been booked by that point.
Right.
And the prison sentence.
Old JG's son was getting away with quite a lot. The tweet was 76 minutes, Joe Roden's shirt is pulled, hit in the face, and Onine handles the ball in the area. Players waved on, 0-0. It's quite strong from the old official account, which made me think probably was a penalty.
I did feel like the linesman in front of the East Stand was guessing for the majority of the game as well.
Agree.
He loved explaining that to Farker as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, Farkas talking about his letters of apology. He was, after the penalty wasn't given and the linesman ventured back towards the technical areas, it was one of our backroom staff was right up with him, and then Farker came and had a go as well. And then
I was meaning the one on the other side. In front of the East Stand is what I was complaining about.
Oh, I mean, they were all rubbish.
It was a fairly hopeless performance.
And then when 3 minutes went up on the board as well, Farker does a nice thing when he's talking to the officials, because he was, lambasting the fourth official. Then he kind of turns away and he goes back and he's like, okay, I'm calmer now. However, and then launches into them again.
So the elephant in the room here is VAR, isn't it?
I don't want it.
I was going to say that VAR would have picked up on at least one, if not two of them. I still don't want it back.
No.
I'd rather the mistakes happened and you just sort of suck them up, which is what we have to do.
I'd rather Tim Robinson just gave a penalty when
just did your job properly.
Big handball offence.
Or did the right thing and now retires.
Yeah, just don't referee any more matches. He's given it a good go. He's probably done his best, and I respect that. People who try, it's obviously a very difficult job, but it's not for everybody.
Even the counting up of time is clearly a difficult business for him. So
why is it the incompetent ones that seem to go for it then? People are just not very good at stuff.
I mean, it's really, really difficult, is refereeing.
I get that it is, but equally, a man punching a ball, the one thing you've got to see is where the ball goes, and are there any offences in front of you? It's right there. And you can only have one pair of eyes in your head. You might get distracted. You might be looking at a little bit of pushing or something like that. You don't know. But still, mate.
The video of it is bad. Yeah. It does not reflect well on him. I don't see how he's going to...
Is that the worst video you've ever seen on the internet?
Yes, it is, definitely. I don't see how he's going to sit in front of a panel, though, when they go, we're going to review your game, explain why this was not given. And he'll probably go, phases of play or something. And that's what refs normally... That's not a normal get out from refs.
Even the timekeeping is... it's a minor thing in the scheme of things, and maybe we wouldn't have scored if we played for 200 minutes. But the season started with a big clampdown on time-wasting. It's been fairly well established. There is nothing unusual about seeing a board go up with +7, +8, +9, whatever. It's almost more unusual to see a board go up with +3. There would have been, and it's almost, you wonder sometimes what, a referee, you don't want referees to be homers and to be influenced by the crowd, but sometimes you just think, why don't you just have an easy life? Give Leeds the penalty. It'll be great. There's 37,000 people want you to do it. It looks like it probably is a penalty. give it. And then at the end, instead of, like, if you give 3 minutes of stoppage time, you're going to have Daniel Farke yelling at you. There's clearly been more than that. You know there has, because there's been, at least there were four lead subs, there were two or three Sunderland ones, all that already. So just give more. Nobody's going to have a go at you if you give 6 minutes of stoppage time, because that is now normal. If you come out with three, everybody's going to have a go at you. And why do you want that? That's what he wants. Maybe he is. That's just what he likes.
Three did feel very like 2003, didn't it? That kind of a...
One at the end of the first half, I thought was pushing it. I thought, oh, that's novel. And there weren't really many stoppages, but you'd give two just for sport.
The end of the first half actually summed up the game quite nicely, because Bamford, very near the end, went round the goalkeeper and then hit a cross so hard, no one could have ever got to it. He looked like he was going to score at one point and then just fucked it, which was not surprising. And then I think we had another chance to attack, but instead we just passed it around midfield until the time ran out and everyone was just like, fuck. I think that's why there was a bit of booing actually going into half time, because it was clear there was a time to put the ball forward one more time. But we just didn't.
But there is sort of a principle within football as well, is you don't concede possession and leave yourself open to the risk of conceding one just going into half time.
But there wasn't time for them to...
Yeah, but they don't know that on the field, do they? It's always just a best guess. We know because we've got the stadium clock there, but...
Well, they have it too.
I know, but yeah, they're playing a game of football at a professional level.
Yeah, they can see a clock.
I think someone should look at the clock.
Well, in terms of looking at stuff, Lewis is just saying in the comments as well that Rodon's head was between the ref and O'Neill's hand, but the lino should have seen it. Yeah, absolutely. Between... There's three of you. And a fourth official as well. Fourth officials get involved with stuff, don't they?
Both linesmen spent most of the game waiting for the ref to make a decision so they could agree with him. So when they were asked to do something proactive, I think they might have struggled with it because Robinson is a tyrant. And if anyone tells him what to do...
A monster.
Oh, the stuff he's done to people in the dressing room. Oh, he's a bar of soap in a towel, giving them all a good beating.
Right. I presume he moves on from the bar of soap to pool balls.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's not many of them in dressing rooms. So he
brings them. He brings them.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Does he, right? In the socks.
Yeah.
In a football sock. It can be deadly.
Yeah.
It can be deadly.
Especially if it stretches. Anyway, look.
Did you like seeing Jack Clark?
No. Fine. Whatever. He was dangerous, wasn't he?
He
did have Archie Gray on toast on that one occasion where he did that little Cruyff turn.
Yeah, although Archie, I'd say it was about a draw between them. Archie did well a few times against him as well, didn't he? And
Melier.
Clark had a shot, didn't he? It was a tight angle.
Yeah, wasn't a good shot. Did you see when he tried to charge down Melier?
I didn't know.
It was quite early on in the game. He was clearing it and he got dead close to him. And then Melier, I thought, was about to knock him out. And he was like, oh, you.
You scamp.
Jack, what are you doing? That was quite nice.
He looked like he had a reasonable chance with the header as well, but the cross was
that was a huge chance,
actually. The cross was quite... It was a bit hard and high, maybe.
Yeah,
he threw
himself out.
I don't know. I don't imagine Jack Clark is your man for a towering header at the far post.
Lee Chapman scores it, but Jack Clark doesn't.
You don't get diving headers anymore, do you? Like proper, really low diving headers like Chapman used to do.
Take you back to Tyler Roberts against Hull, if you like.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Years ago, Moscow. Right.
Bringing back. That's what you're saying.
What I was going to say, just to wrap things up, is that we roll on to Saturday. As Leicester proved tonight by losing at Millwall, people are wobbling.
Yeah, and as Ipswich will prove tomorrow night by losing to Watford.
I mean, if that happens, it's been a really good...
Yeah, to gain a point on both.
It's really been a really good round of midweek fixtures, but it still feels awful. Yeah. I mean, for months, it felt like none of top three ever lost. Well, top four, Southampton didn't either. And just looking at the form, like Leicester have now lost two, drawn one in the last five. We've lost one, drawn two. Ipswich have lost two. Like, people are dropping points absolutely everywhere all of a sudden.
Everyone's shitting it.
Everyone is shitting it.
The closer it gets, the harder it gets. That's why what I was sort of coming in on at the start of this is that, we've got a lot of young men who are under pressure here trying to deliver something for a very expectant, demanding crowd.
And like Norwich are in really, like, maybe the form team in the division at the moment. They're two up against Sheffield Wednesday and end up drawing 2-2. Stupid. Yeah. It's a stupid division.
What did they do that for?
Don't know.
We can't pass 100 points now, by the way.
Oh well, that's stupid fine. Division. I just want enough points.
Yeah, yes.
That's all I care about. Yeah, they were two up at 78 minutes, drew 2-2.
Right,
we're Norwich.
I mean, we're all worrying about how many wins we'll get through the rest of the season. What if us, Leicester and Ipswich just lose every game between now and the end of the season?
we'd go up.
I mean, that'd be fine, wouldn't it? But that'd be interesting.
We wouldn't actually, because Southampton might overtake everyone if we all lose every game.
Southampton lose every game as well.
They can't lose every game too.
They can't because they're playing each other, aren't they?
No, well, they'll be away.
Okay.
I'm not letting that get in the way.
Okay. So yeah, we roll on to Saturday, which we'll preview with Phil in a couple of days' time. Once the dust has settled, and as Emma said, what I wouldn't give for a convincing no-stress win on Saturday, we need an early goal. Get an early goal, settle the crowd, build on it.
It did feel like earlier in the season, we were getting frustrated because we were missing early chances. It just didn't happen today. I think I wrote, my first note of the game, in fact, was on 12 minutes. I said, all us but no chances, bit pedestrian. And that was really how the rest
my
of the
dad,
game...
My dad called it earlier.
Hand out as well.
Called it early, sorry. He said 0-0. Yeah, he's got 0-0 written all over this one.
See, so, I did expect a goal from someone.
But we're saying on Saturday to go first 15 minutes, 2-0-8. Yeah, we can change back later if it's not working.
True. Yeah. There was actually one of the comments further back said we should go hell for leather for the first 20 minutes and try and get teams beaten.
And Wilco way.
Yeah, and now we are into the business end of the season when Farker told us we could look at the table. Maybe, just maybe, we should give that a whirl and see how it pans out.
I mean, we are second.
I mean, we've not put it on the screen yet, have you?
We're second. Don't bother putting it on the table, Dan.
I'm not going to do
that. Don't do it.
It's not official. I've not seen it. I don't know where to look. I don't know how to find it. What even is it?
You'll have to wait for tomorrow's newspaper.
Will it get posted to me?
Yeah, I've been in the papers tomorrow, as Michael says.
Okay, I'll look out for that.
And then you can do your league ladders. You can sort them out.
That's useful.
Well, I suppose, yeah, I could maybe if I look at the results, I could work it out. But
league ladders, I'm going to find the results. It'd be a nightmare these days, wouldn't it, with all the different kickoff times and stuff?
Mm.
Like a full-time job, trying to adjust them. Listen, I am quite pleased because I'm annoyed at Sky moving all of our games around. I am quite pleased that while they were not showing Real Madrid 3, Man City 3, they were instead serving people that load of shit.
Was that the final score?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
And Arsenal-Bayern was storming game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was 2-2. So if anyone was thinking of flicking between the games this evening or have not got TNT, just watching that fucking chanceless dross, just being like, why am I not paying the extra?
They had the roof closed at the Bernabeu, didn't they, today?
Well, that's hugely exciting.
Playing in a big sports hall.
It was very windy. I will say that today.
We should have closed the roof.
Should have done.
Freezing.
That is actually one point I've written down.
Put some polythene over it.
Conditions. The conditions didn't help sometimes when we were ended up lofting those balls. Do you see that the ball kept hanging and then they drop in? That was a bit weird.
No, we don't win headers anyway.
Right. Just not bother. We're just giving those a miss. Right. Okay.
It could be when second half, Roden ordered Gruffalo into midfield as they cleared and then Gruff is like, back into him. Roden ended up having to clear out both the Sunderland player and Gruev to win the header. It's like, what's the point in even telling him? I know you're about to press the button. What was Bellingham's problem with the Gruffalo at the end of the first half? What was that about? Started on it for no reason.
Well,
he was angry because he couldn't watch his brother on TNT.
Maybe it'll all come out in the wash one day. Who knows? Right. We'll wrap it up there. Back with the weekly show in a day or two. Phil's here before the weekend. We'll preview Blackburn and we'll be back with a match ball after Blackburn. When is that? Where we are going top? We could actually, couldn't we? Because we play early on Saturday. We'll go top on Saturday if we win.
And stay there.
Let's do it.
The Match Ball.